Okay, good morning and good afternoon to everyone, depending on where in the world you're listening from. I'd like to discuss with you a Ramban at the end of Parashat Achimos, which pertains to themes discussed in Achimos and Kedoshim, and specifically, it gives us a whole new outlook on what it means to live in Eretz Yisrael as far as the Torah is concerned. The pasuk, the verses in the end of Achimos, discuss the prohibitions of the arayos, adultery and the other prohibited relationships. And afterwards, the verse warns us that we should not be metame the land with these acts, or that will cause Hashem to punish the people who transgress these prohibited relationships and punish the entire nation because of them, such that the land will spit out those who are upon it, will spit out the nation, will expel the nation from the land. This is an interesting way to warn the people about the prohibited relationships. For as we know, these relationships that the Torah prohibits are prohibited anywhere in the world. A person may not marry his sister, his mother, his daughter, no matter where he lives. Why then will the land be happy to spit the Bnei Yisrael out into another land if they sin in such a way? And why is it that the people who previously occupied the land were expelled to another land, and that somehow settled Hashem's anger at the people? If the sin is just as bad no matter where that sin is being transgressed. There are certain mitzvot which only apply in Eretz Yisrael, such as the mitzvot of Trumos and Maisos, the mitzvot which we refer to as Tzuluyos Ba'aretz, and are dependent on the land, on what grows, the produce that grows from the land. These obviously relate to the land itself, and they apply only to the holy land of Eretz Yisrael, not the Kutlars. But other mitzvot, among them the Arayos, pertain no matter where a person is living. This is the question with which the Ramban introduces his insight into how the mitzvot differ in Eretz Yisrael and in Kutlars, in the diaspora. The Ramban explains as follows. It is true that many of the mitzvot of the Torah, most of the mitzvot of the Torah, apply in any land that a person is living. Nevertheless, they don't have the same effect. The Ramban explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided up the world among the various nations that descended from Noah, each nation was given a land, and Hashem appointed in the heavens an angel, an administering angel, to deal with that land, through which Hashem will give the people in the land either a punishment or reward. However, there's one land, the choicest of all the lands, Eretz Yisrael, which Hashem left for the chosen nation. That land was not given an intermediary angel, an angel that will administer the land. Rather, the land is directly dealt with by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Therefore, when a person sins outside of Eretz Yisrael, it is not like sinning in the palace of the king. When a person insults the king and he lives in some faraway land on the other end of the kingdom from the king, it is not nearly as disgraceful to the king as a person that's standing in the palace of the king and insulting him. this is why when a person sins in Eretz Yisrael, even with their sins of Arayos, or especially with the sins of Arayos, which are especially animalistic sins, it affects their status, it affects their status, their relationship to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem, in a much stronger way. Hashem does not want him to insult him, so to speak, in his faith while standing in his land, in his palace, and that's why the land will expel them, and their sin will be lessened to the extent that it's not being done in the palace of the Lord. This, he explains, affects every mitzvah that is done. The person performs a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, because it's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it accomplishes much more. If a person performs the same mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz, since he is further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has this intermediary, the intermediary appointed over the land, whichever land it may be, through which the mitzvah has to go, therefore the mitzvah is a lesser mitzvah to that extent, just as Aveira is a lesser Aveira to that extent. The Ramban explains many different points based on this. One point is, many different Maimei Chazal, one Maimei Chazal, one statement of the rabbis is that a person living in Chutz La'aretz is like he's serving Avodah Zarah. How could that be? He's simply living outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it's as if he's worshipping idols. The Ramban explains what this means is that he's performing his act through an intermediary and not directly before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that sense, it's comparable to Avodah Zarah, where a person serves an intermediary. Similarly, the Medrash tells us that one who lives in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, is comparable to all of the mitzvahs. Has to be comparable to all of the mitzvahs? And that explains because it affects every single mitzvah that the person does. Does it depend on the type of mitzvah, you're asking, Sarah? Well, it seems from Ramban that the holier the mitzvah, the more it is that Eretz Yisrael is able to elevate it. But every mitzvah certainly is affected by the person living in Eretz Yisrael, by the fact that a person is living in Eretz Yisrael. This is what it means that Eretz Yisrael is the mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael is comparable to all the mitzvahs in the Torah, meaning it is able to elevate every mitzvah that a person does. We find also that the Mishnah tells us that Avos kept all the mitzvahs, our forefathers kept all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and yet we find that there are times where they do not seem to be keeping all the mitzvahs. For instance, Yaakov Avinu married two sisters, which we know is forbidden by the Torah in the Parsha of Arayos. Why is it that on the one hand he kept all the mitzvahs, on the other hand he made certain exceptions to the rule? I discussed this in a Parsha page and in other places, and the Daf Yomi we mentioned it also, in Shabbos 88 and other places. The Ramban explains that the answer to this question is a mitzvah accomplishes its due, accomplishes what it can when a person is in Eretz Yisrael. When a person is in Chutz La'aretz, it accomplishes much less. The Avos, the forefather, kept the mitzvahs when they're in Eretz Yisrael because that is where the mitzvah is able to accomplish all of its heavenly accomplishments, all the things that we wanted to accomplish, and therefore the Avos, the forefathers, kept the mitzvahs in their entirety in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu married two sisters outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he wasn't together with Rachel when they entered Eretz Yisrael, until shortly afterwards at the time when she died in Beit Lechem. The reason she died there, says Ramban, is to help Yaakov Avinu keep all the mitzvahs. One of the reasons, at least, why she died there specifically is so that Yaakov Avinu should not be transgressing this mitzvah of Arayos in Eretz Yisrael. Ramban brings another medrash that says, Hashem told us to keep the mitzvahs such as putting on tefillin and mezuzahs outside of Eretz Yisrael, not so that we should be performing mitzvahs, but rather so that we should be well practiced when we return to Eretz Yisrael after the coming of the exiles. How could that be? There's no mitzvah to put out a mezuzah in Chutz La'aretz except for the fact that we want to be well versed in the mitzvah when we return to Eretz Yisrael. Rabban explains that what this means is that Hashem would not have commanded us to put on a mezuzah if he knew that we're going to only be in Chutz La'aretz, we're going to remain outside of Eretz Yisrael and not come to Eretz Yisrael, because that won't accomplish everything Hashem wants us to accomplish. It won't be worthwhile. The reason Hashem commanded us to put on mezuzahs even outside of Eretz Yisrael, the reason why we are bidden, why it's obligatory to put on mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael, put on mezuzahs and so on outside of Eretz Yisrael, is in order that we should be well versed in the mitzvahs when we return to Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban seems to be following his opinion in this matter in the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says that when Bnei Yisrael accepted the Torah, it was through coercion. Hashem held them out from the top of them and forced them to accept it. Because of this, Bnei Yisrael have a way out. When Hashem tells them, why didn't you keep the mitzvahs, they could say, well, we were forced to accept the Torah, we didn't really mean it. That's what the Gemara says. Rabban and Rashba and many of the Rishonim just ask, how could this be? How is this possible? We know that Bnei Yisrael accepted the Torah willingly. They said Masa before Nishma. And we know that Bnei Yisrael were punished for transgressing the mitzvah when they were in Eretz Yisrael. They were sent into Golos. If so, isn't it obvious that they have no way out of the mitzvah, no excuse for not keeping the mitzvah? And the Ramban answers that Bnei Yisrael said Masa before Nishma and accepted willingly the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said, I'm giving you the land on the condition that you accept the mitzvah. And they said, yes, we want the land, we'll take the mitzvah. However, when they went into Golos, when they're exiled, they have this excuse of coercion with regard to keeping the mitzvah. Hashem held them out to them, prophet, and told them, now that you accepted the mitzvah, you're going to keep them even outside of Eretz Yisrael. This was the excuse that they had. Until Purim, the Gemara says, by the miracle of Purim, Bnei Yisrael came to accept the Torah even though they were still in Chutz La'aretz, and they accepted willingly. This is the Ramban following his opinion that the purpose of the mitzvot, what is accomplished by the mitzvot, the spiritual accomplishments, are accomplished in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore Bnei Yisrael chose to accept the mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they chose to do willingly. The coercion, what they were forced to do, was only to accept the mitzvot even outside of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't feel that the mitzvah would accomplish the same thing. They didn't appreciate the necessity of doing it. So we add one more insight into this Ramban, which really opens the door to explaining so many different Maimei Chazal and understanding so much about the mitzvahs in general and the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We can explain what exactly does it mean. What does it mean that Hashem appointed intermediaries, angels, to administer every one of the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael? Why is that necessary? And what is accomplished by it? Why shouldn't Hashem administer all the lands? Is it too hard for Hashem to administer all the lands at once? That he should have to appoint intermediaries? Have to show him. It's obvious that Hashem could administer all the lands as easily as one land, just as we see, that he looks over every single person's deeds at the same moment on Rosh Hashanah. He could administer all the lands at the same time. The way I understand this, or at least one aspect of what this means, is as follows. We find that the Pasuk tells us Eretz Yisrael is not like Egypt. You can't compare the two all together. In Egypt, you had as much water as you needed. The land grew and produced fruit and vegetables because of the Nile River irrigated it. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not like that. That's not the way the land works. Hashem has to provide rain for the land. Sometimes it rains, sometimes it doesn't. And when you're going to sin, you're not going to get any rain. When you're going to perform the mitzvah, you will get rain. Thus expels us all out clearly naked. This is considered a reward. This is considered a benefit for the chosen nation, Hashem says, you're not always going to look at instead. Okay, sorry about that. Where was I up to? Does anyone want to tell me where I should continue from?
You were talking about Israel, and the last thing that I remembered, you were talking about rain. You were talking about if you do mitzvah and you don't sin, there will be rain. That's what I remember.
Gotcha. Okay, we'll continue from there. When you do a mitzvah, there'll be rain. When you won't, there won't be. In Egypt, it's not like that. The Nile River irrigates the land, and they have water continuously. What kind of reward is this, that we're blessed with a land that doesn't supply us with a steady parnasa, with a steady livelihood? Chins have a land that does provide them with a steady livelihood? Okay, Shmuel, 1 minute. The answer is, yeah, any questions could be asked in text meanwhile. The answer to this is that if a king has two servants and he tells one, I'm giving you enough money for the entire year, I don't want to see you until next year, you can buy enough food for the entire year with it. And the other servant, he says, I want you to come back for lunch every day. The servant that he loves is the second servant, the one that he wants to see all the time. Hashem blessed us with a land through which we're able to become closer to him. This year, for instance, the Kinneret was almost 4 meters below the sea level, and all of the rabbinic institutions instituted special prayers that everyone should pray for rain, because the ecologists were already ringing the panic button. We prayed, and Baruch Hashem, we see that now the Kinneret is almost up to the fill line. It's less than a meter away from it, and there already are people that are warning of possible floods in Tiberias, because the Kinneret may overflow the fill line, which is very likely, considering that the snows of the Hermon have not yet melted. This is a land through which we're able to come closer to Hashem. He reminds us constantly that he is there, and we have to ask him for what he provides us. Because I'll say that Seder's Ram, the mitzvot of Trumas and Maestros, are referred to as Emunos. It's the Seder that teaches us to trust in Hashem. Why? Because a farmer, by planting in the soil and not knowing whether his crops will grow or not, is trusting inherently in Hashem. And this is especially so in Eretz Yisrael, more than any other land. This is what makes it the chosen land. In this sense, Hashem is directly upon us. There are no intermediaries. We're coming directly to Hashem. We're seeing the hand of Hashem constantly. And through this, we come to recognize the hand of Hashem in everything else that he does. When he saves us from terrorist attacks, when he watches over Bnei Yisrael, the Chol Mokom Shehem. And this is why the mitzvahs HaKliyos Ba'aretz apply only in Eretz Yisrael, and why all other lands are serving Hashem, in a sense, through an intermediary. In a sense, they do not recognize Hashem the same way as the people that are living here.